Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
And now it's time for our weekly sports segment with Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Bill, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Deb. It's a pleasure, as always.
So let's start with a local story.
Which won't be a pleasure to talk about.
I know, it's so odd, right? So let's say the superintendent of East Bridgewater Schools issued an apology after the East Bridgewater girls basketball team beat Madison Park 93-7.
Right.
So explain.
Well, there are a number of things that are worth attention in this story. The first thing that came to mind after I started kind of reading about this, because I wasn't at the game, one of the young women who played for the Madison Park team said that the East Bridgewater team was pressing through the whole game. And for people who don't really understand how basketball works, pressing means that you bother the other team right from the point they bring the ball out of bounds from their end, and half the time you don't allow them to get the ball over half court. Now, that sounds like exactly what happened, because if you only score 7 points during the course of an entire game, it sounds like that's what happened. So the East Bridgewater coach obviously was making no adjustment for the fact that his team was getting further and further ahead throughout the game. The second thing that struck me was one of the players for the Madison Park team said she was so discouraged after the game that she wondered whether she'd ever play basketball again. And that's not the kind of atmosphere that you want to create for kids playing a basketball game. This was a young team, mostly freshmen. They had no tournament experience. As some of the kids on that team said, they had no experience with a game that big. And I think they were very poorly served.
But it's a superintendent.
Obviously, there were. The superintendent apologized,
issuing,
so he agrees with me.
Issuing an apology is unprecedented.
It's certainly unusual. I have heard of opposing coaches and school officials issuing apologies in similar situations in the past, but this is so extraordinary, so extreme, that I'm glad that an apology was forthcoming, because it certainly was required, I think, in this circumstance.
Let's talk briefly about the Red Sox. J.D. Martinez joined the lineup at spring training in Florida today. He's late to camp because of delayed contract talks. But at this point, can we even say how's the team looking so far?
Oh, this is the best point to say how the team is looking so far.
I can't hold you to it.
The Red Sox are one of the many teams that look great. It's early March. They all look terrific. They could all go 162-0, or at least that's the way they think at this particular point. So optimism runs rampant at this point. They're a good team. The managerial change should help. There was some sense last year that there was some sense of unpleasantness in the clubhouse. So the managerial change should help, and Martinez obviously should help, although, as I said, when he was first signed, I don't think you can necessarily expect that he's going to replace David Ortiz in terms of either production or length of service. But, hey, at least you got to give him credit for going out and getting somebody who hits home runs.
Speaking of Red Sox, there was a sad story out of North Carolina. Former Red Sox pitcher Sammy Stewart, he played for the team during the 1980s.
Yeah,
he was found
briefly,
dead at his home on Friday.
1 year with the Red Sox. Mostly Sammy Stewart played for the Baltimore Orioles and by all accounts, was a delightful an entertaining member of that team, famous for his good stories and his performance. He was a superb pitcher as well for a period of time. Unhappily, when his baseball career was over, he had some tragedy, lost a son to cystic fibrosis, a little boy who was only 11 years old, and Stewart's life kind of fell apart. He was arrested several times. He had addiction issues, and it's a shame. But quite often when athletes get to the end of their athletic career, it's a tough adjustment. And for him, obviously, an adjustment terribly complicated by the death of a child.
Right. Well, we've certainly heard about it before with...
Oh, absolutely.
So yeah. I know that it's happened before. Also, sort of in the same vein there, Cavaliers player Kevin Love wrote in the Players Tribune about his experience with a panic attack during a game and some of the shame surrounding that incident and mental health issues.
Yeah, it's a very interesting... You never know with the Players Tribune the extent to which the player himself has written the thing and the extent to which his agent or somebody else has participated. But it's a very interesting piece. The positive side of it is that Kevin Love acknowledges that until this panic attack that he had a couple months ago, basically at halftime during a game, he had never really thought about any sort of social, psychological, mental health issue having any kind of impact on him. He thought that was something that other people had to deal with and not him. And suddenly was confronted with the fact that it was something he would have to deal with, and he has been dealing with it. The only thing that makes me a little bit uncomfortable with that piece is that he seems to be suggesting that seeing a therapist a couple of times is pretty well going to take care of it.
There you go, all done.
For some people, sure, all done. And for other people, it's there are circumstances they have to deal with over a much longer period of time. And I wish him well. I think it's great that he's come out and talked about this and is addressing it.
Right. Certainly folks are more aware, more open about mental health issues. They've gotten more open in, over the years. But is there something in particular about sports that makes it difficult for athletes to sort of admit to this?
I think there are two things. One is there's an ethic in sports, which is basically rub some dirt on it and get back on the field. And it doesn't matter whether what you're rubbing dirt on is an injury to your knee or your elbow or some sort of psychological or social issue that you're trying to deal with. Get out there. You know, can you go? Can you play? The other part of it is that to get to the highest level in any sport, unless you are just a supremely talented athlete, you have to really devote yourself to that sport to an extraordinary extent. And when the time for devoting yourself to that sport ends, as it does for athletes, at the same time that many of their peers are just hitting their stride, if they're lawyers or doctors or business people, that's a tough adjustment. What do I do now? There's a marvelous article about Ichiro Suzuki, the Japanese player, just came out, that his entire life is built around making himself the best baseball player he can possibly be. And he's in his mid-40s, and people who know him, somebody said to him, what are you going to do after you retire? And he said, I guess I'll just die.
Oh my gosh. The
people who know him say they don't know what he's going to do because everything he does is built around getting prepared to play baseball as well as he possibly can. It's a very tough adjustment for elite athletes.
All right. Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game, which airs right here on WBUR, Saturdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. He joins us Wednesdays to talk sports. Bill, thanks as always.
Thank you, Deb.
Stay with us. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.